Dave Taffet, and I am here in the studio with Lauren Landis and the late Patty Fink. What happened to her? She was here the last hour, and she left so that she could arrive late for our show.
She ran outside for a moment.
Oh, okay. Our guest today is the martyr Candy Markham.
I was locked outside on a rainy, snowy, cold day.
Because she left off one of the numbers on
I
the code
did.
To get in.
I knocked and knocked. Look at my knuckle is red.
There's a buzzer.
I buzzed and buzzed.
Oh, we didn't hear.
Maybe it's not working.
I thought y'all didn't want me to come in.
No, I don't think it's that we didn't want you to come in. We have a number of topics we're going to talk about, but first it is Pledge Drive.
It is.
Number is 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Need you to give us a call, donate to the only gay and lesbian radio show broadcast on the air here in the Metroplex, anywhere really in North Texas.
For how long?
For 30 years. We're the oldest, longest-running gay and lesbian radio show on anywhere in the country, probably anywhere in the world. I can't imagine a place where there's a radio show that's been on longer, particularly. Amsterdam.
There are some that have come and gone.
Oh, lots have come and gone, and we weren't actually the first, but we're the
oldest. We have consistently been on.
Mm-hmm. That's something longest running about. Consistently.
Yeah. And the reason we've consistently been on is because of the listeners who make pledges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, push that mic up just a little bit and put yours a little bit closer. And yeah, our mics for some reason we're just not getting good.
There we go. That's much better for me.
Okay.
But I think it's worth saying that again. That we're the longest continuous running show because of the listeners who donate.
And
you're right.
We actually last year lost two shows on this station that were longtime shows on this station because they were not getting pledges in. So give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. I was going to say, operators are standing by, I think.
There's Patty.
Here's Patty. Patty's back. You decided to be late for the show, even though you were here already.
Yeah, I was here for a long time, so I left so I could be late.
I don't think it counts as an absence.
Not an absence, just...
Tardy.
It just counts as being Patty.
How many tardies does she get?
It wouldn't be the same if Patty was here at the very start of the show.
It wouldn't. It wouldn't.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the same.
She's never heard our theme song.
Yes, I
And she has no idea what our theme song even is.
Mr. I forgot my magnifying glass and had to have things in big type yesterday. I got there before you.
Do you know, this is the second time in a year Patty and I went to an event and she was there before I was.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was at the other one.
Second time in a year.
Yeah.
See?
I felt
she's
like,
on it.
What's wrong with me? No, yesterday we co-officiated at a wedding.
Oh.
And it was for Cannon and Rafiq, who've been on the show several times. And they had said to us, you know, Cannon was, I think I might cry during this. And Rafiq is like,
I don't want to lose it.
I don't want to lose it. So we both said, look, don't worry about it. Whatever happens, happens. It'll be fine. You're already married, because they got married out in California a couple of weeks ago.
San Francisco.
They came back here, and we did their commitment ceremony in front of friends. So we start, and I'm talking about how I've seen the two of them together, and I've seen when they've been kept apart because of visa problems.
Right.
They were kept apart one time. It was about 3 months. And I said, and you're so much better together. And that's when I started to lose it.
He started to lose it.
And then Patty started, and she was saying, by the laws of the state of California and the United States.
So afterward, I told Cannon, I said, you know, you guys were worried about this. Not a problem. We've taken care of that. It's done. We started it off. We were the ones who lost it.
And you have to understand, Patty, how much do you and Aaron want to get married?
Oh, a lot. We want to get married here, though, where it counts.
Okay.
Yeah, us, too.
And you, too.
Absolutely.
We're holding
so
out
you're
to
holding
make sure.
Out.
We're Texans.
But I've never said, I've never really particularly wanted to get married. I would if we needed it for particular financial reasons right now.
But it's not big on your to-do list.
No.
Never has been.
Never has been.
So what prompted this gushing of feelings from you two?
Because it was so emotional.
It was incredibly emotional. And to Cannon and Rafiq, if you weren't familiar with them, have been they were some of the founders of Immigration Equality.
Yes.
Which is based in New York and Washington, D.C. Big organization that helps binational LGBT couples, you know, get the standings they need with, you know, INS and all of that immigration process. Mm-hmm. And here they were two prime examples of, you know, why that was needed. And now, since the Windsor ruling, they could get married, and Rafiq could be absolutely no problem here staying in the United States because he's just the spouse of an American.
Yes, right.
He can apply for his green card now.
Yeah, right. All of the things they've been through are going to be gone.
And it was years and years.
Oh, and they're a couple. They have spent over $1 million keeping Rafiq in the country. God bless them if they had the money and the wherewithal to do that.
The love.
But 17 years doing this.
But he's always been in compliance, has always had a visa, a student visa for his undergraduate, then his graduate degree, then another graduate degree, then for his entrepreneurial visa. But to do that, he had to open a business, and they invested the minimum amount, which is well over $100,000 that you have to invest. I mean, did all of those things, and they still gave him trouble coming back two times because you have to go back to your home country to pick up your visa.
And yeah, they have the visa.
And stopped him at the gate as he was boarding the plane because the State Department approved the visa, Homeland Security didn't. And, you know, until it took, in at least one of those cases, it took a congressperson intervening. You know, what those two have gone through. Mm-hmm. So
it was a huge, hugely emotional moment yesterday when they were finally together.
Mm-hmm.
And David and I were the ones who were just blubbering, you know, trying to get the words out. But it was so beautiful. And it was so beautiful that their family had family in from Australia and family from all over. Friends came in from both ends of the country and friends from here, of course. And just beautiful, beautiful time.
I love Cannon's nephew who said, "Uncle Cannon, Uncle Rafiq, it's so nice that you're now legally my uncle, Rafiq."
Yes.
And it was so heartfelt.
Yeah.
I mean, everything about this, it was just...
And poor guy is last minute. Can you do a toast too?
Right. But that was impromptu. But it was so heartfelt that it was just gorgeous.
And one of our moments, as we're going to finish wrap up with this, but was a line I had with in the service where I said, and this is why it's an East Meets West moment, and that's why a Methodist and a Muslim asked a Baptist and a Jew to officiate.
Ecumenical.
Absolutely.
Anyway, how important. Candy is I'm not even really introducing her. I'm calling her the martyr Candy Mark.
If you listen to the show, you know who Candy is.
And for those who don't, Candy is a community counselor. She counsels the entire community. That's why we have no problems here at all. How important is this symbolic? I mean, it's just symbolic. They're together now just like they were the day before. But how important is that? Emotional or you know, the bond, you know, they had a wedding certificate and they had everybody come and sign as witnesses on their certificate.
Oh, that's great.
Or I guess another way to put it is, when you get married, does that change things for couples?
I have asked four people in probably the last 3 or 4 months what the difference was from being together. The least amount of time was 10 years. The most was like 17 to 20. What was the difference in getting married? And, of course, they all had to get married in other states than Texas. They were already committed to each other. They were already living together. Some had children. They said it made a huge difference that they felt differently, that when they go to fill out a form, they can put married, not single. That it made a difference to their children.
Absolutely, to children.
Yeah, that their two mothers or two daddies are married. They said it was a visceral difference.
Hmm.
Now, I say, too, because I'm not married either. And so
you're holding out with us? I mean, I'm a native Texan, and Erin's been living, she's native Louisianan, but
yeah,
you know, we've been living here.
We've been together, in June, it'll be 28 years.
So I'm the only one who's married on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That would be you.
And you weren't really married on the show. You were.
No. No.
But that would be good to have someone marry on the show when Texas finally comes around,
yeah,
and
we
they will.
Do that. Have a Lambda Weekly wedding.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, we'll do that for you.
Yeah.
Because there has been a wedding on the show. Christian Lee got married on the air.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because it's not an issue of if, it's an issue of when.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so, in order for that to happen, this show has to keep going. Until we get this right.
Oh, she's good.
Right.
Ooh, she's good.
And so we need people to make pledges to keep this radio show on the air.
Because it is Pledge Drive, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893.
Operator. Doc is standing by.
I think that that segue was the best one that's ever been done on any show anywhere.
I think so.
And I think if you have you say that was so good, it deserves a pledge.
It does.
Then call us at 972-647-1893.
My pledge is in honor of Candy.
Yes.
Okay.
And how many other pledges can we get in honor of Candy? And she's doing such a great job mm-hmm. already.
All right.
And Candy is here in... Oh, well, we have cameras on. I can't lie. but we do have pledge premiums. I can't see what the camera can see, but over on the window we have hanging up a whole variety of new KNON T-shirts. The traditional one is white on black, but we have a black on white. That's for a $40 pledge. But we have hoodies, and we have long sleeve T-shirts. The one that's hanging here is blue on gray. That's a nice, it's a very subtle
mm-hmm. long sleeve T-shirt.
We have the black hoodie. We have the pink with black writing on it. KNON, the voice of the people, Dallas. 972-647-1893 gets you one of these pledge drive items. We also have the Elite Music sponsor pledge drive item, and for $500 you get on the list, and that sounds like a lot to start until you start thinking about it. It gets you on the invitation list, and if you go to all the KNON events, or a lot of the KNON events, a lot of them are at Poor David's Pub or at Sons of Herman Hall, you're on the event list. You can come in, you get dinner, and it's
you
tickets
and a guest.
It's tickets for two. You know, right there.
Elite and, music sponsor,
yeah,
right here.
Patty
all
does
right.
it because she goes to a lot of these events and really does pay.
You're just standing names on the list at every event.
Yeah, the Jazz Fest.
It is there. You walk up and you say, you know, Patty Fink, and in we go.
And the 2-day Jazz Fest here in Dallas, the one in Fort Worth, Thanksgiving Day here, New Year's Day here.
You know, Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras.
Hey.
You know,
I see that. It's coming up.
You have
the Mardi Gras T-shirt.
Are you going to march in the parade this year?
I'm going to try.
Are you marching in the parade with us this year?
I'm going to try.
You should. and bring Gabrielle. She
yeah.
will love
she would love that.
She will love it.
She would.
Are you going to march with us in the parade this year?
I hadn't really thought about it.
Well, you're welcome to
well,
come
right?
march with us in the parade. It's so much fun. It's the parade's down in Oak Cliff. It marches down to Bishop Arts from about Edgefield.
How
so it's
fun
about a
is
mile
that?
Walk. It's a lot of fun. Oh, we had a ball last year doing this. 972-647-1893. Give us a call and pledge to Lambda Weekly, 972-647-1893.
You know, Erin just came back from Louisiana last night, and she smuggled some king cake back.
Woohoo!
And several of them, and I told her she was packing treat.
Pack and treat.
But it is almost Mardi Gras time, so this is a great time to enjoy the music that KNON offers, and it's live music at these events, and great music throughout the week, 24/7. And, you know, of course, we're rated the best music radio station anywhere in North Texas by the Dallas Observer and D Magazine.
And I don't know if you've noticed, but our plaque wall up here in the studio has grown a little bit, and I see Annie and Alan Litt, who Annie used to engineer
right.
our show.
Mm-hmm.
She's up there. To get a studio plaque hung in perpetuity here at KNON, it's a $1,000 sponsorship. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Now, we know that most people are not going to make the $1,000 pledge or even the $500 pledge, but if you'd like just a retro bowling shirt, we have a KNON retro bowling shirt for $100, or our Patty's favorite pledge item is the apron. And that would be for a $40 pledge.
I have the bowling shirt.
And you love it, right?
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yes, I do. Black. Slimming. And
slimming.
Slimming.
You can wear it today during today's puppy bowl.
Oh.
Your bowling shirt. Get it?
And if you're a cat lover, I think they have a kitten bowl now, too.
Well, the kitten bowl, there's going to be kitty halftime. And they got big talent coming to the halftime show in the puppy bowl today. Keyboard Cat.
Oh.
Is this in the Super Bowl?
No, it's on Animal Planet.
Animal Planet. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Puppy Bowl. This is its 10th year, and it's going to be awesome.
Speaking of kitties, I need to ask our counselor. Okay, so I have a cat. It's the worst pet that I've ever had. He doesn't know who I am.
Really?
I mean,
he doesn't listen to KNOW.
No, he knows who you are.
He knows who you are.
No, the look. That's it. The look when I come home, he looks at me with this odd look, and then usually runs away. Anyway,
he knows who you are.
He likes
exactly.
You know, if Brian and I are upstairs, he's downstairs. If we're downstairs, he's upstairs. If one of us is upstairs, the other one's downstairs. He's under the bed. He is the most unaffectionate. Anyway,
wait, is it a kitten or a cat?
Is he a feral cat?
No. No.
Interesting.
He grew up with Brian, and he's got 4 years old. But he's the same with Brian. It's not like Brian. His name is Rotten, and he has absolutely.
There's the first problem.
He has no idea what his name is.
You all call them Rotten.
He has no idea what his name is. So he gets out every once in a while. Mm-hmm. This time he was
out of the house.
And
he's so thankful.
Well, when he does get out. I mean, he'll just hang around, and we'll see him. We'll call him, and he'll run in the other direction. And he was out for 2 weeks. This time he was out for two weeks.
Oh, wow.
And it was really cold. Finally, we had the door open yesterday, I guess it was, with a bowl that was like 2 feet inside the house. He kind of snuck in, and we slammed the door behind him. That's how he's in. He has been so affectionate since he came back.
Really?
What is wrong with this cat? I mean, he's been letting us pet him.
My first thought was that Brian has a new place to live, mm-hmm. which means Rotten has a new place to live. And cats tend to be, they tend to bond with their place, mm-hmm. not necessarily their person. Mm-hmm. But also, I think being out for 2 weeks, that the kitty learned something. That there's no place like home.
I hope so.
Well, he learned that you guys are his meal ticket.
Do you know, and he was out for 2 weeks. This cat is so particular. It's not just that we have to buy him particular brands. It's special flavors of those brands that we have to buy this cat. And if he's decided that he doesn't want that one particular one, he stands in front of the bowl and just screams.
Yeah. That's a cat.
Till we change the bowl.
What a smart kitty.
Yeah. Oh, he's a little brat is what he is.
But I'm glad he's affectionate now.
For the first time, it's like we're petting him. Oh, yes, you're the best cat.
You know, if you kept that up, he would stay and be affectionate.
We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis and the late Patty Fink, and our guest is the martyr Candy Martin.
KNON depends on listener support, and now is the time for you to keep this show on the air. If you like what you're hearing and want to show appreciation for your community radio station, then pick up the phone and call to make a pledge. Call 972-647-1893 or go online to knon.org. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Without the support of our listeners, there won't be any community radio on the air in North Texas. So take a few minutes to make a pledge. Call 972-647-1893 or go online to knon.org.
This is Kimberly Truex of the GLBT Wedding Expo, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. Lauren has the entertainment report.
Well, it's a shorter one, and it's actually kind of bad news. Oscar-winning actor Philip Seymour Hoffman has passed away. We learned just
moments ago,
literally. Apparently to an overdose, and he did win an Oscar back in 2005 for playing the gay guy, Capote.
he was only 46.
Only 46.
Very young.
Very young. But that kind of led into a discussion about, well, he is Jewish, and we were doing the Jewish Hour of Music, and we were wondering, is there a difference between...
Mazel tov, Lauren. You did a fabulous job on the Jewish Music Hour.
Well, thank you.
And I did,
thank
too.
And Patty did, too.
Patty Finkelstein,
all of you guys were great. Now, let's just move on. Okay.
But is there, and we don't want to totally generalize or stereotype people, but are there differences between how gay and lesbian folk deal with their sexuality depending on what culture they come from?
You know, I think there is, but again, I can't base this on studies, and so I'm going to be very careful in what I say, because it's what's called phenomenological study. It's what I've seen. My experience has been that the Jewish culture is more accepting of gays and lesbians. I guess transgenders, I'm not sure on that.
Unless you're ultra-Orthodox.
Exactly.
But mainstream Jewish is fairly accepting.
There's a broad band. It appears to me to be more accepting, and so it may be a little more ease in coming out, though I don't ever think coming out is easy, but there may be more ease to that. My other thought about the Jewish culture is that there's not as much addiction issues. Now, that may be wrong. David said you had read a study on that.
You know, I've read a study that was true, and it's a lot less true recently.
Okay.
So...
And then my other thought is how deep and a foundation the religion is, and then with that goes the family, and how there are so many ways to celebrate that religion and celebrate family together. They kind of go together, religion and family, that it seems to me that it would be easier. And so it always surprises me when I hear of someone who's Jewish, like, what was his name?
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
That there's a thought that he might have committed suicide.
Could be. We don't know it yet.
I'm going to guess an accidental overdose.
I would think accidental, but, you know, we don't know yet. We don't know.
But still, you know, what's he doing, doing drugs? To me, that would mean an unhappy person, an unfulfilled person, an unsatisfied person. And so who knows what that was about. And certainly depression does run in families, so it could be that way too. But it does, it gives me pause when I hear about troubled people, especially in the GLBT community. I think about their families, the family of origins. And with that, I think about ethnicity, culture, acceptance, that kind of thing. That all plays into how well you come out, how well adjusted you are. I was telling my partner yesterday, we were shopping. My mother is born on February 14th, and so we're shopping for a gift for her. She's going to be 91.
Wow.
And I tell her,
Happy birthday, Candy's mom.
Yes. And she still drives in Houston. I don't drive in Houston. She lives by herself. She's a pretty healthy gal. But anyway, years ago, when we came out and to her, I bet it wasn't 6 or 8 months later that she said to Carolyn, "Now, Carolyn, when you dress Candy, put her in more color." And she did dress me, and that is true, and my mother dressed me too. So I just thought, you know, just some people, I don't think my mother's great on our issues, but on that particular one, she was like, "Now, you dress Candy in color."
When you say not great on our issues, there's a difference between our issues and her kid.
Yes. Yes, there is. And I think I've told you all this before. In my family, I come from a medical family. My father was a doctor. My mother was a nurse. My sister was a nurse. My other sister's a therapist, and I'm a therapist. So when I came out, their issue was not religiously based, although they are Roman Catholic. They are Irish Catholic. It was that it was a mental illness.
Because at that time, it was still categorized.
Right.
It was.
Right. Hence, I am a therapist. But it was a whole different thing. And that's why you look at family of origin. And then maybe you can widen that lens and look at religion or race, ethnicity and culture. You go this way with it.
Well, I think it's really interesting, too, like when Ellen came out on her television show, not her talk show, but her comedy show.
Sitcom.
At the airport.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. And the episodes that followed that were, you know, continued to be about her coming out. And I love the one where they went to a PFLAG meeting, and she took her mother to the PFLAG meeting.
I didn't see
and
that.
Afterward, after the group met and such, they had coffee and, you know, treats and such. And she was looking, she goes, Ellen, you should go meet that woman over there. She's a doctor. So mom was still kind of doing the same thing, you know.
I remember that.
You know, moms are still moms, aren't they?
Oh, they are. Absolutely.
But I also, to segue into something else, when that happened, when Ellen came out, there was some backlash, not from non-gay people, but from gay people who said that was just too gay.
The rest of her whole show that season.
Yeah, her show got too gay.
Mm-hmm. That's actually what made me watch it more. It was. I loved it after that.
Well, because there was never anything on TV like that before.
Exactly.
Now, last week, our guests were the couple that got married in the Rose Bowl parade. And they got the same criticism, of course. Now, if you saw the Rose Bowl parade, they were on for exactly, and this is exactly 15 seconds. The float was unmiked, and about the only thing that you heard, if you were watching a station that didn't cut away 5 minutes before this to make sure they didn't show this horrible thing, you heard... what was his name from the Newlywed Game? The host of the
Bob
Newlywed Game. The host of the Newlywed Game saying, there's...
Chuck something. Forgot.
There's the newlywed couple who were getting married on the AHF float. Something like that. It was one sentence that you heard. That was it. And people thought that was horrible.
Well, there's children there. You know.
There are children there. They're shoving it in our face. Now, what they saw on the float was people picking their kid up and watching the float. And they heard some of the jeering and the boos, but they heard wherever there was a group of people that were booing, there were louder people all around them cheering even louder to drown them out.
All right.
So most people who were there were for it, first of all. They're from California. It's legal there. The parade is in California. It's legal there. What's the problem? They've done weddings before. I don't remember this kind of controversy about, I don't think it's appropriate for somebody to get married in the Rose Bowl parade. They did it the year before, but it was a straight couple. Why wasn't that controversial? That offended me. Bob Eubanks. Thank you very much.
Bob Eubanks.
But that offended me, that
it was
a straight couple got married.
Yeah. It's pure and simple discrimination.
But why were the gay people who were watching it, what did they find offensive about that?
It was just too gay. So what does that mean? What does that mean when someone says something is too gay? My first
That's
thought...
That's like saying too chocolatey. It's just bizarre.
Too female.
Yeah. It's too female.
It has to do, I think, if you look at them, just take it on the first level, is that they're uncomfortable. Somewhere they are uncomfortable with what they saw. All right? So we're looking at, well, it couldn't be marriage. I mean, two people who love each other getting married. Couldn't be they don't like the color of the float. I mean, it had to do, I think, with what I call internalized homophobia.
Yeah.
Is that I get that ick feeling, even though I'm gay. And when I see it out there for everyone to see, you know, my child was sitting next to me or my mother was sitting next to me or whatever. It's what we call the ick factor. And
Lord knows straight people, well, many, many straight people have it.
Say it again?
Many, many straight people experience the ick factor.
The ick factor, that's true, but it's interesting that gay people do about gayness.
Because they've been taught that.
They feel uncomfortable being gay. They feel it's, on some level, it's wrong, it's bad, something
somewhere
wrong.
Deep down inside of them, they still think there's a... they have a problem with themselves.
Right, that it's bad to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I grew up in a home that was very, very Southern Baptist. I mean, in the Southern Baptist culture, and there is a culture.
Yes, there is.
Is that, you know, no matter what anybody tells you, you're going to hell if you're gay.
And you know, in my hometown, they had a senior prom every year, junior-senior prom. And the Baptist church on that day, that night, would have a big bowling event and kind of a stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning thing with, you know, whatever Baptists do in that basement. you know, they have receptions there. I'm not being mean here.
You know why?
Because if you dance together, it's about the dancing. And of course, someone always brings some booze, but they're not supposed to. But it's the dancing, because if you dance, you'll have sex. Anyway, it's the culture of Southern Baptist.
Well, and speaking of going to hell, no, I'm not going to do that segue. I'm just going to say, you're going to go to hell if you don't pledge to Canaan. No, I'm not doing that.
But you'll go to heaven if you do pledge.
What a save.
Score again.
What a save. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. It is pledge drive.
And, you know, we're going to have the Super Bowl later today and the Puppy Bowl, and we're having the Candy Bowl now.
We are.
She is stellar today.
Just as you're saying, you know, because we have it that we're going to hell, and our listeners, if you don't pledge,
972-647-1893.
I bet they don't use that on other shows.
They probably don't.
It's a reason to pledge.
I'm sure they don't.
It's it's another checkbox in your list to go to heaven if you pledge to this show.
Exactly.
And the KNON.
What you're doing is you're supporting the community, and KNON, it's not just the gay community that KNON supports. It's every community. We have a little bit of everything on this station. And Sunday is probably the best example of that because it's just a little bit of everything. 972-647-1893. One of the station's mottos has always been, if you don't like what you're hearing, just stick around an hour.
Really?
The format changes.
It's wonderfully diverse. Yeah. Wonderfully.
Yeah. You know, this was the station that had Lambda Weekly on as the very first LGBT radio show of any kind in the United States, and that was 30 years ago.
In Dallas, Texas.
And we're still here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're still here, and we need your support because this is listener-supported radio. 972-647-1893. And this station also sponsored Sin Fronteras, which for many years Jesus Charez
was now on the board.
Host, right? Has, you know, that was one of the earliest shows with a gay Latino. That was an amazing thing. And this is the station that did it. And we need your support. 972-647-1893.
Right. For the gay community, show our station manager that you appreciate what he's done by supporting us. At the time when they asked Bill Nelson, who people know the name from the Nelson Thibodeau Clinic on Cedar Springs, but when they asked Bill Nelson, who was president of Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance at the time, to put together this show, the real reaction was, okay, we'll do a gay show. What's that?
Because there wasn't one.
Nobody had ever done one before, but it was just a way to go on the air and talk a little bit about our issues that were not being talked about at all and be an outreach to people who had no connection to the community. And how many times, Patty, have you heard from somebody who has said, you know, you really saved my life because you were the only gay person I ever heard?
It's been amazing to me how many times, and just voice recognition, too. You might be someplace and go, I know that voice. Oh, I know where I know that voice. Mm-hmm. And we get to meet some listeners, and people do have those experiences.
Mm-hmm. And I know there's, with the internet and all of our, you know, advances now in communication and media, you can get your information so many other different ways. We have to compete with that now. But still, we're the only local content you're going to hear on a media outlet and hear it from a local perspective about GLBT issues.
Right.
And that's something I think I know a lot of people have told us they really like.
And I think it's still important, despite the internet, despite, you know, availability of all kinds of media, to know that right here in Dallas, Texas, there are gays and lesbians and transgender people who are just like everybody else.
Yep.
Sort of.
We can't marry, but other than that.
Other than that. No, but people just like, and we talk about all the issues and local issues, how they relate to us here in Dallas, and national issues, how they relate to us here in Dallas. There wouldn't be that without KNON. Mm-hmm. So give us a call, 972-647-1893, 972-647-1893, or you can pledge online, go to KNON.org, press the pledge button.
And there's so many ways that you can listen too. Right now, you can listen live on the dial at 89.3 FM in North Texas. You can listen online at knon.org. Just go to it on the web page and say listen now. You can also pledge there too. We also have podcasts available on our website at lambdaweekly.com and on iTunes. Mm-hmm. So you can subscribe there. And then thanks to Doc, we have some video on YouTube as well. So you can listen and watch the show in many different ways on your own time or live. And we appreciate your support. So give us a call if you're listening later in the week. Go to the website and pledge. But give us a call at 972-647-1893 or go to knon.org and donate now and listen. And pick your pledge premiums there, and just be sure to say that Gay Show, or LW, or Lambda Weekly, or however you want to put it, but indicate it's us, and we'll appreciate your support.
We're talking today to Candy Markham. She's a community counselor. She takes care of people like Patty who have awful problems. and when Candy's on, we just talk about a variety of different issues. But the one thing, because of our guest last week, we decided let's talk a little bit about internalized homophobia. What is your actual definition of what internalized homophobia is?
It's fear of being gay.
But and internalized,
simple as that.
As far as most people, it's fear of people who are gay. And you're saying internalized homophobia is fear
of being
of
gay.
Being gay.
And I think that's adopting society's negativity about
where else
being
would you
gay.
Get that?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd just be fine to be ourselves and
exactly.
love who we love, be attracted to whom we're attracted. But people tell us, no, you're supposed to be like this.
And it's amazing the lengths that some people go to deny being gay.
Oh, yeah.
Because kids don't have a problem with it normally.
I mean, when little kids go, Patty, Aunt Erin, and they know where to go.
I mean, they don't until somebody tells them that
right.
tells them different.
But they learn it really, really young.
They really do.
Has Gabrielle had any problems yet?
Not yet. She's had a couple of kids ask about why she has two dads. I don't know if they've even asked why. They just say, you have two dads? Mm-hmm. And she just says, yes. But
is that unusual? Lots of people marry and remarry.
Just curiosity.
How does that work?
Yeah.
I've got a mom and a dad, and
but
you've got
so
two
far,
dads.
I haven't heard anything so far. But I expect it to come.
She's some sort of backlash.
She's just going into kindergarten next fall.
Yes. Okay.
She's five?
Yes, just
five.
Her five.
Yeah.
God, that's such a fun age.
It is fun.
I hope she's having fun.
She is. She's a question box.
Why don't we take our break?
You're listening to question box.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly at 89.3 KNON FM.
He's David Taffet. I'm Patty Fink with Laron Landis and our guest today, Candy Markham, and we'll be right back.
Community Radio provides the kind of programming you won't find anywhere else on the dial. Nowhere else can you find such a variety of formats and personalities in North Texas as on KNON. But this is only possible through the support of our listeners. KNON depends on listener support to stay on the air. Now is the time for you to help keep this show on the air. This pledge drive will continue until the station reaches its goal. If you're waiting out the pledge drive, you might be waiting out the existence of this show and KNON too. So don't wait for someone else to do it. Without the support of people like you, there wouldn't be any community radio on the air in North Texas. So take a few minutes and make the pledge. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893.
This is Lewis from UT Arlington, and I listen to Lambda Weekly podcasts at lambdaweekly.com.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laron Landis, and our guest is the martyr Candy Markham. That's going to stick.
And we're having the candy bowl today.
I wanted to go back to the internalized homophobia. One of the things it's just my personal opinion, is if you're in a same-sex relationship and you have kids, I would think you can't not be out. I mean, that's just almost not a choice.
You're just out every minute of every day.
You really are.
You know?
Whether you choose to be or not.
There's no way around it.
No way around it. If you're not outing yourself, your children are going to out you. And they're not doing it on purpose. But when you're walking through the store and they say, Dad, can I have this? And then turn to the other and say, Daddy, can I have that? I mean, boom, you're out.
The best story about outing, and I've told this on the air before, Amanda Simpson, who is the the Undersecretary of the Army, I believe, in charge, and she's in charge of procurements for the Army.
In terms of weapons.
Oh, wow.
She's transgender. And she was with her 6-year-old son at Costco, and her son got online, wanted a food sample. And so the woman said, "You're going to have to ask your mom if it's okay." And the six-year-old said, "She's not my mom, she's my dad. But she used to be a man, but now she's a woman." So the woman said, "Okay, then."
It just happens, because you have kids.
But where I was going with this is that I recently saw online where there's a gay couple who have kids. I think they're foster children. But their children don't realize that they're a couple. They call them.
Even today, that is so interesting.
And I'm like, really?
I was thinking about a couple, not anyone that I saw. It was a story that someone told me. That there were two women who came together out of love. They each had children from a marriage. Mm-hmm. They all lived together. Mm-hmm. But the two women had a room, a bedroom.
Oh.
So the kids, theoretically, never knew the relationship between their mother and the other woman. Now, this was in the early 80s, so to hear your story is shocking to me.
Yeah, I was shocked.
First
too.
Of all, I don't know how you pull it off.
I did a story last year.
With separate bedrooms, I mean, like Aaron and I kiss as a greeting all the time.
I did a story last year about a guy who lives with his mom and her partner. He didn't know until fairly recently that they were together. And we're talking a little bit, and he had just contracted HIV, and he was telling me the story of his going to Mexico, where his father still lives, and his father had contracted HIV, and he got his father to get medication. His father was just very sick, and that's why he went to meet him, and because he hadn't seen him since he was young. And I said, "So is your father gay?" And he said, "Oh, I never thought of that."
Because I'm sitting here thinking he must not be gay.
This is a gay kid who has a gay mom who was married to probably a gay dad.
Right.
You know, when it's family, I think it's really hard to know. Because you don't think gay straight. You think sister, brother, mother, daddy, aunt, uncle, cousin. You don't think that way. And when the children grow up and marry and bring outsiders in, well, they see it immediately. Mm-hmm. And they say, "Oh, I didn't know your brother was gay." Well, my brother's not gay.
Right.
You know, or I didn't know,
he's just my brother.
Know your cousin was gay, which is what happened to me years ago. My partner at the time and I went down to visit her people in Houston. And she was real close to her grandparents, her uncles, and her cousins. And her cousin came and opened the front door, and I thought, "Oh, her cousin's gay." And I said, "I didn't know Phil was gay." And she said, "He's not gay." Well, of course, it turned out to be gay. But you just don't see it until you bring someone else in. You just don't think that way.
But I just don't know why a couple. If you're going to be a parent, especially if you're in a same-sex relationship, your children are going to have to deal with it one way or the other when they get older. I think you really need to be their bedrock of kind of strength to deal with that. So keeping it a secret with your own children, I just think that's a bad idea.
Shame is a powerful, powerful thing.
Yeah.
The feeling of shame. You know, guilt makes you kind of go, "Oh, gee, I wish I'd have called him or called her." Shame is about, "I feel bad about who I am." It goes to your core. And so, yes, when you're a parent, I think everybody wants to be the best person they can be for their children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that moves people to come out, to deal with the shame.
Well, and two, I think it's a really awful message to be sending to your child. You say, if I'm
exactly.
ashamed to be who I am, even in my own family with my own child, then the shame must be the proper way to handle this then.
Well, it must be really wrong.
Right. I mean, that's what they're really telling their kids, is that it's the best thing to do is to be ashamed of who you are.
Yeah. And as a child of someone, of gay parents, Zach Walls, who started the group Scouts for Equality and was a speaker here at Black Tie Dinner this year, when we were talking, he said, "You know, I'm not an ally. I'm part of the gay community, even though I'm straight."
Mm-hmm.
So Gabrielle can't just, "Oh, well, they're my dads." Yeah. She's part of this community.
She is.
Yeah, she's going to have to come out as having gay parents.
And, you know, and going back to Zach, you know, he did, you know, say part of his growing up, there was a time, I think he said in early to probably right before he graduated high school, he didn't tell his friends that he had two moms. That wasn't because he was ashamed of it per se, or he thought something was wrong with it. He just didn't want to deal with the ridicule. Mm-hmm. I totally understand mm-hmm. that. But had his moms pretended that they were just roommates, you know, I think they would have sent a totally different message from him to him, and he probably would be a totally different person today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
Well, and it's certainly blown up the whole Boston marriage cliche.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we used to say of two women living together, you know, we don't speak of it, but we just call that a Boston marriage. You know, yeah. Everybody knows, but they just say it's a Boston right. marriage and everything's fine. Wink, wink.
Right.
You know, and now a Boston marriage is legally.
is legal?
That's the word started. First marriage, legal
That's
marriages.
That's right, Massachusetts.
Yeah. So Boston marriage is the real McCoy.
Now, like, I guess 2 weeks ago, we had to take Gabrielle for her 5-year-old checkup to the doctor. Now, her regular doctor wasn't available, so one of the other doctors did the physical and stuff, and I mean, one of the first things out of her mouth to the woman was, "Hi, I have two daddies." she doesn't waste time. She will tell you straight up. And she's really, she knows that it's, I guess, not the norm.
It's different. And so she was leading the way for y'all.
Yeah, she will tell you straight away, "I have two daddies," and mm-hmm. she thinks it's like really cool. So if you're gay and you're gonna have children, don't do that to your children. Don't be closeted.
But that's the reason that this show is on the radio, because even today people have a lot of trouble being gay or lesbian or bisexual, transgender. They have a lot of trouble with it even today.
And not just them, but everyone in their lives.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, when we say it's difficult sometimes to be honest and truthful about who we are because there's such backlash in society. And so we take our time to prepare how we want to tell our parents, to tell our coworkers, to tell our friends, to tell lots of different people in our lives. It takes, you know, we have that planning time, and the people that we tell don't necessarily have that time. And so we need to be patient with those around us that we tell so that they can be the best person they can be in response to you. But they didn't get any warning. They didn't get a time to plan.
Well, if they were watching, they could have gotten a clue.
That's true.
No offense.
And if they were already there.
I think it is a process. I mean, it is a process for everyone. But I just want to say, parents, pay attention. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to pick up on some clues.
Well, even then, I think, especially mother's intuition, they know they're just in denial.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is how it works in my family. I was up in New York last summer, and I'm talking to one of my cousins, and I said, "So how are the kids?" And she told me the one is living out in California, real happy, living with her boyfriend. And she said, "And Alyssa, you know, she graduated from college last summer, and she's living with her girlfriend up in Buffalo." Now, the problem wasn't that she's living with her girlfriend. The problem is that she's in Buffalo, and that's where the that's where the conversation went.
That's cute.
That kind of reminds me when Melissa Etheridge was with Julie Cypher back when, and they went to meet Julie Cypher's parents in Oklahoma for the first time, and her parents just sort of freaked out, but they weren't freaked out. They said, "You're with a rock musician."
Not a doctor.
Never mind the lesbian thing. Yeah, it's a rock musician? That's an awful thing.
You know, that's just how different families mm-hmm. accept things. I mean, it was just, I actually didn't know that this cousin of mine was gay until then.
I was going to say, so there's more in your family than you.
She's the only one that I know of.
Oh.
Yeah, in my
just
family.
The two of you.
Yeah.
So do you think internalized homophobia is something that can be totally done away with over time, or do you see clients who are later in age and are still dealing with that?
Yes and yes. I do think, you know, for me personally, and maybe for you three also, my internalized homophobia has gone way down. Mm-hmm. It's still there. I will tell you, it is still there. But it has gone.
I think mine's still there a bit.
And we're the most out people
we know.
But I'm
aware that it's there.
Sometimes I don't know how much of it is internalized homophobia. It's just that the subject comes up in kind of an awkward situation. I'm not asking you about your being straight, and yet it comes up that I'm gay. And it's just, it's not that, there's no shame there about it. It's just kind of a
little bit offensive.
It's just an awkward situation mm-hmm. that it didn't need to come up mm-hmm. at all because what does this have to do with watching the Super Bowl this afternoon? You know, that kind of
right,
thing.
Right.
Or in the middle of a situation with a whole bunch of people that, you know, mixed group. Yeah, it just seems like it comes up sometimes. And that's where it's awkward for me.
But it will not only come up, you know, are you gay? I'm just, you know, my best friend is gay. I'm just kind of asking you. But also it might come up, so you're Jewish?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I thought maybe you'd be darker.
Mm-hmm. And
a friend of mine told me that once.
I probably...
that this guy she married, he told his mother that, I guess they weren't real involved in the wedding, said that I'm marrying this Jewish person, and she said, is she dark?
Wow.
But anyway, I mean, but it's wow, it's something different than me, and I just have this need to talk to you about it.
And I've had probably more awkward conversations like that one than the gay thing.
Mm-hmm. People.
Which is peculiar.
It's people.
Speaking of peculiar, it is Pledge Drive here on KNON.
Your segues are not near as good as mine.
I was about to say, nope, there is no David Bowl. The Candy Bowl today because she's an expert at this.
Mm-hmm.
Professional.
Okay. So, Candy, why don't you segue us into asking for moolah?
I think one way to deal with your internalized homophobia is to listen to this show. If you are someone who loves someone who's gay or lesbian, I think it's good for you to listen to the show. And the only way you can listen to it is if it's on the air. We need your pledge.
Wow, she's good. Wow, she's good. 972-647-1893.
You have to put her on staff.
Yeah. Wow, she's good.
972-647-1893.
The phone hasn't been ringing a lot today, and the excuse is Super Bowl Sunday, which means we're going to have to beg for money twice as much next week.
Right.
In order to make our goal. And we do need to make our goal. That is the thing about Pledge Drive, that if a show doesn't make its goal and it's consistently not making its goal, that show is gone. However, one way to keep the show here is by buying a KNON concert folding chair for $100.
Hey!
And I'm just going to challenge folks. If you don't have a stake in today's game, I don't. I'm pulling for the Saints. I hope the Saints win the Super Bowl. But if you're not rooting for the Denver Broncos, or you couldn't care less if it was the Seattle Seahawks or not, then you're a prime candidate to call in right now with a pledge, 972-647-1893. Because it's not, you know, you're probably in it for the ads now. So give us a shout and give your support today instead of to a team you don't really care about. Give your support to a show you do care about.
Right.
972-647-1893.
Somebody asked me if I support Seattle or Denver, and I said, I'm kind of in between Boise.
We support KNON. We want you to do that, too.
972-647-1893. Doc is just getting bored here. He's falling asleep, and he's... ready to wring our necks because, no, give us a call, 972-647-1893. You can get one of our great new KNON t-shirts, the two-tone black and gray with white design. Which one is that?
It's the Dickies short sleeve work shirt.
Oh, okay. Or you can get, and that's for a $100 pledge. The KNON ladies long sleeve tee is a $60 pledge. That's the azalea pink.
Yes, with the black.
What's the one that's third from the right? I'm kind of eyeing that one.
That's the zip. That's the KNON fleece zip up jacket. It goes all the way up to 4XL. And that's for a $100 pledge. That's a spectacular one right there.
Yeah. That's the one I wanted, but it doesn't have a hood on it. I like a hoodie that zips up.
Well that would be the one second from the left.
But it doesn't have a zip.
It doesn't have a zip.
Oh, it doesn't have
right,
a zip. No.
But that hoodie that you're talking about there, the pullover hoodie,
mm-hmm,
for a pledge of $75, that's the one that Aaron swears by. And Aaron has lots and lots of hoodies.
Yes, she does.
But she says it's always, every time she puts it on, too, especially in winter weather like this, you know, that this is, my favorite one. This is just the best hoodie I've ever had in my life. And she's had a lot of hoodies. So this comes highly recommended by a hoodie wearer. KNON pullover hoodie for $75 pledge. A great premium.
Mm-hmm. And that number, once again, 972-647-1893. If you want to wait till a few minutes after the show, we have about 5 minutes to go. Feel free, because
We'll be here.
Yeah, we'll be here. We'll take your pledge. Let's just wrap up a little bit.
One last thing about wrap up about internalized homophobia today. Can you have internalized homophobia and not even realize it?
No. I would say no. Now, isn't that a broad and brave, bold thing for me to say? I think you know when you don't like yourself. I think you know that. And I think you know when you project it onto someone else, which is what happens. I think a lot of folks that have been bashed for being gay, I don't know, but it's more than 50% that chances are that person's a gay person who's doing it. Internalized homophobia is a dangerous thing.
I think it's possible for someone to have it and not realize it, just in the way they speak about themselves. For example, you know, if someone says, "Well, I didn't come out earlier in my life because I didn't want my kid, I didn't want to ruin my kids' lives." Well, that's a
statement.
And
then they'll say, "But I told my wife before we married that I've been with a man," or
yes, but to make the assumption instead of characterizing, it just tells people, "I didn't want to ruin their lives." Well, telling your kids that you're gay is not going to ruin their lives. It's the way you're perceiving what that will do to them.
Well, I have another,
and I have a problem with that. Yeah. You know,
well, that's internalized homophobia for sure.
It is,
and you're saying that perhaps he's not aware that statement was an internalized homophobia statement.
It is. Exactly. And because it's assuming that it will ruin their lives without any other possibility present.
That's not internalized homophobia. That's a fact. Right? That's how he's thinking.
Right. But that is in itself, I think, internalized homophobia.
Absolutely.
Because he's making the assumption, buying into the societal negativity, that it's bad to be gay. And, you know, exactly, that it's bad to be gay.
Well, staying on the kid subject, I have a friend who I think has a lot of internalized homophobia because he always says he would hate it not only if his son turned out to be gay, but if he turned out to be really feminine.
Yes, homophobia, just homophobia in general, not internalized, but homophobia is rooted in sexism. Rooted in sexism. So it goes like this. With two men, who would want to be the woman's part?
Yeah, right? That line just kills me.
Two women. Well, how can they do it without a man?
Right, right.
Okay, sexism.
Yep.
And with that,
Candy, thank you so much.
Let's talk about that more sometime.
Okay.
Let's do.
Candy, thank you so much for being here with us.
Well, thank you for letting me in the door.
Oh, you're welcome. And our guest next week is the Reverend Frank Schaefer. He's the Methodist minister who was recently defrocked. He'll be here in the studio with us. One more time, our number is 972-647-1893.
And thanks for being with us at the Candy Bowl.